Greetings, Scotty Reed here with a Black Talk Radio News Report. This report, we're going to start in California, but it's a couple of news stories that's in the news cycle concerning slave catchers, the historic nature of slave catchers, and tie that to also terrorism, domestic terrorism. But we're going to start in California. And so let's go ahead and pull up a couple of these stories. You can find these stories on my thread for BTR News with Scotty Reed at btrcommunity.com. Join us there. Just $24 a year to become a member. It helps support our independent media operations. So The Guardian is reporting that California police work with neo-Nazis to pursue anti-racist activists. This is what documents that have been subpoenaed, I guess, or requested through a FOIA possibly to show these records. So I have an excerpt from The Guardian, and of course you can go to The Guardian to read the article. We will go there now, and we're just going to read an excerpt or two from this. So we are at The Guardian, and the article, again, the title is California Police Work with Neo-Nazis to Pursue Anti-Racist Activists, documents show. So just think about that headline. Officers expressed sympathy with white supremacists and sought their help to target counter-protesters. These are people expressing their First Amendment rights to counter-protest against racists and extremists and terrorists. And so officers expressed sympathy with white supremacists and sought their help to target counter-protesters after a violent 2016 rally. And this is according to court documents. So California police investigating a violent white nationalist event worked with white supremacists in an effort to identify counter-protesters and sought the prosecution of activists with anti-racist beliefs. Now, this, again, is according to court documents. The records, which also show officers expressing sympathy with white supremacists and trying to protect a neo-Nazi's organizer's identity, were included in a court briefing from three anti-fascist activists who were charged with felonies after protesting, which is their First Amendment right, at a Sacramento rally. The defendants were urging a judge to dismiss their case and accuse California police and prosecutors of a cover-up and collusion with the fascists. So again, they're talking about the neo-Nazi white supremacists. Defense lawyers said the case at the state capitol offers the latest example of U.S. law enforcement appearing to align with neo-Nazi and white supremacist groups while targeting anti-fascist activists and Donald Trump protesters after violent clashes. So I guess they're referring to at one of the Donald Trump rallies. I do recall where you had the person who was assaulted after Donald Trump encouraged those attending his rally to support him to attack protesters. So this has been going on for a while. So that was probably even go back to 2015 when I recall that rally that was here in North Carolina, that he had in North Carolina. But again, this is nothing new. This is all throughout the history of the United States, and even going back to the colonial days and the so-called 13 colonies, with North Carolina being one of them. And the historical records show that white supremacists and law enforcement all come from the need to practice or enforce, I should say, slavery. When you are taking the free will of human beings and subjugating them to the point to where you control their bodies like cattle, as in chattel slavery, and these people don't have any kind of rights whatsoever. I mean, even today, animals have more rights than what were afforded to slaves. People who have been designated as slaves, who are accurately should be called victims of slavery. So there's a long history there, but we don't have to go that far back in history to show that there is a great need to stamp out this problem in the United States federal government nor any of the individual states when people want to talk about state rights and all of that kind of stuff, where they're free to prosecute racist, white supremacists, and terrorists anytime they want to. So let's go to a recent story from The Intercept. So we go ahead and close that one out. And the next story, again, this is old news that I have reported on Black Talk Radio News ever since I became aware of the 2006 heavily redacted FBI report. I probably was on Blog Talk Radio where I started in 2007. And at the time when I reported it on One Black Man's View. But the FBI has, The Intercept published a more recent article, but it mentions the October 2006 FBI document, but they published up a little over a year ago. So this California, them working with white supremacists, different various, when I guess they're saying California police, different agencies, but back in on January the 31st, 2017, just a little over a year ago, The Intercept published the article, the FBI has quietly investigated white supremacist infiltration of law enforcement. Now, in that year, I have not heard of any prosecutions of any police officers, correction officers, sheriff deputies, sheriffs, police chiefs, any of them being prosecuted as terrorists, as criminals who are violating key, whether you want to call them civil rights or human rights, but these are criminal acts against citizens of the United States. And when this is allowed for, you know, what do you expect as we see all these police officers who are being killed here recently? But the FBI secret rules, let's go ahead and read an excerpt. This was published by Alice Speary. Bureau policies have been crafted to take into account the active presence of domestic extremists in U.S. police departments. White supremacists and other domestic extremists maintain an active presence in U.S. police departments and other law enforcement agencies. A striking reference to that conclusion, notable for its confidence in the policy prescriptions accompanying it, appears in a classified FBI counterterrorism policy guide from April 2015, which was obtained by The Intercept. The guide, which details the process by which the FBI enters individuals on a terrorism watch list, the known or suspected terrorist file, notes that domestic terrorism investigations focus on militia extremists, white supremacist extremists, and sovereign citizen extremists often have identified active links to law enforcement officers, and explains in some detail how bureau policies have been crafted to take this infiltration into account. So whatever these policies are, they are not resulting in any prosecution. I'm not hearing any reports of any terrorist cells within any law enforcement group in the United States being prosecuted. Although The Intercept goes on to write, although these right-wing extremists have posed a growing threat for years, federal investigators have been reluctant to publicly address that threat or to point out the movement's long-standing strategy of infiltrating the law enforcement community. Well, it's not really infiltrating, I would say. It's not really infiltrating when you was there from the beginning. Slave patrols came out of slavery, the practice of slavery, the institution of slavery, needing a force of arms to impose slavery upon human beings. Because naturally, you're going to have rebellions, you're going to have revolts, and they're going to be violent. Now, so let's not get it twisted. Let's get our history straight. Police departments, the oldest police departments were founded, I believe the first one was founded in the 1700s. This is before the so-called United States of America was created. Over 100 years before. maybe not 100 years ago, so excuse me there. But Boston and New York are your oldest police departments, and they started as slave patrols. And if slavery has always been codified in law, going back to colonial law, you need those to enforce those laws, especially unjust laws like that. You need the force of arms. You need those who are willing to be that wicked, that evil, that brutal, and that willing to oppress other human beings and impose that quote unquote slave status upon them. So let's not get it twisted. It goes back to the beginning, the roots of law enforcement. And they are, again, as we always want to point out, slavery was never abolished by the United States federal government when you look at the 13th Amendment. Now here's, we're going to close it out with this piece of news. Again, I said that there were several stories that were interconnected, but you got Attorney General Jeff Sessions coming out. Now, according to NBCNews.com, and I'm going to just read this excerpt here, Attorney General Jeff Sessions called sheriffs, again, sheriff's departments, slave catchers, same thing, a critical part of the Anglo-American heritage of law enforcement during a speech Monday. "We must never erode this historic office," he told the National Sheriff's Association. "I know this, you know this. We want to be partners. We don't want to be bosses. We want to strengthen you and help you be more effective in your work." So this is, again, U.S. Attorney General, federal government, so-called Justice Department, Jeff Sessions. He's making these comments at the National Sheriff's Association, I guess one of their annual conference. Sessions made the comment after praising the 75-year-old law enforcement group. This is basically a lobbying group because they lobby for no prosecution during the court, you know, while their employees are helping to implement slavery, modern day slavery, via the 13th Amendment. But let me just finish up this excerpt. "We must never erode this historic office," he told the National Sheriff's Association. "I know this, you know this. We want to be partners. We don't want to be bosses. We want to strengthen you and help you be more effective in your work." Sessions made a comment, again, after praising the 75-year-old law enforcement group in its effort to help the Justice Department and President Donald Trump crack down on illegal immigration, among other law enforcement issues. Now, the deflection on this is that, let me just lay it out like this. Some people are saying this is racist. Is it truthful? And can something be truthful, technically right, and racist or offensive at the same time? Yes, to all of that. Okay, so if you look up Anglo-American heritage, what you will find is this goes back to the United Kingdom or so-called Britain under the monarchy. And we know that they gave birth to these racist slaver colonists that came over here and established America. So of course they brought some of their law enforcement, slave catching, because the British have been enslaving people in Europe. This slavery is as old as, I guess, men themselves, mankind itself. So I looked that up, that term up. Let me see if I can find it. Anglo-Americans, the term implies a relationship between the United States and the United Kingdom, or the two countries shared language, English, and or cultural heritage. In this case, what they're talking about is common law. When you talk about law enforcement. And so that's what common law, also called Anglo-American law, the body of customary law based upon judicial decisions and embodied in reports of decided cases that have been administered by the common law courts of England since the Middle ages. So technically, him using that term Anglo-American law, he can claim it's not racist, and it does have a historical term that would be, I don't know if it will be non, because see, oh, back then, the Irish over during the Middle Ages weren't considered white. They were considered the Irish, and slavery was practiced against them in other forms of degradation and domination. So, but when we're talking, we had to also understand who we're talking about. We're talking about Jeff Sessions, who has said some racist things in the past. He supports modern day slavery, and he just, you know, he just has that history, that personal history. So let's see if we can cue up and listen to Jeff Sessions himself.
I want to thank every sheriff.
And also take into consideration again that the remarks of the Trump administration when he talked about Mexicans, Hispanics, Latinos, whatever label or political term you want to use to describe this demographic, and how he used racist stereotypes to, you know, push his policies, his immigration policies, to get people to get behind getting rid of these people, throwing them out the country, rounding them up, throwing them into private prisons and making profit off of them in the age of modern day slavery and human trafficking. So context is everything. So those who are talking about the racist connotations of this, I mean, when I think about the racist face of immigration, I think about a former Joe Arpaio out of Arizona, someone who Jeff Sessions and certainly the Trump administration has been very supportive of, considering that Trump issued Arpaio a pardon after he was convicted of violating a court order on civil rights, treatment of prisoners, concerning treatment of prisoners. But this is Jeff Sessions speaking at the law enforcement lobbying group, the National Sheriff's Association, again talking about using the term Anglo-American heritage and or Anglo-American law, as others have suggested.
In America, since our founding, the independently elected sheriff has been the people's protector, who keeps law enforcement close to and accountable to people through the elective process. The office of sheriff is a critical part of the Anglo-American heritage of law enforcement. We must never erode this historic office. I know this, you know this. We want to be partners. We don't want to be bosses. We want to strengthen you and help you be more effective in your work. The work that...
And here's another reason why that's a problem. Again, if we go back to our earlier stories when we talk about neo-Nazis and other white supremacist groups who have infiltrated law enforcement and also working hand in hand with those who are not even trying to hide the fact that they hold these views and have organized in this manner and are involved in committing acts of terrorism and what have you, but they use those terms like Anglo-American. That's a, you know, that suggests a white supremacist ethnicity for these groups. So just wanted to bring you this news update. This has been Scotty Reed with Black Talk Radio News. Make sure you check us out online at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Check out the podcast. And of course, join me personally on BTR News on btrcommunity.com, where your $24 a year subscription helps fund the media activities of the U.S.-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. Peace and blessings to all.